rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Does this not put things in perspective as a fan of saying, okay, we love our bills, we're passionate, but this is literally life and death, and this is what's important, focusing on him.
Alrighty, welcome back, Financial Guys Podcast, Mike and Mihailu in today. First off, Happy New Year to you all. This is our first podcast of the 2023 year. We plan on talking about some different things today, predictions for 2023, anything politics really we were going to talk about today. Obviously, for those from Buffalo watching that football game last night, things changed not only for Buffalo, but also this podcast today, Stefan.
Yeah, I think it puts things in perspective. Damar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills collapsing, many people not even knowing if he's going to survive, puts things in perspective on so many different levels, whether it's talking politics, talking the NFL, talking a game. I mean, leading up to the game against the Cincinnati Bengals, it's all everyone talked about was the importance of home field advantage and the Bills being the top seed in the AFC. And then the good Lord really puts things in perspective when it comes to the, and it is a tragedy of Damar Hamlin collapsing on the field and is literally on life support as we speak and as we record this podcast. I think it also a blessing to talk about the Bills fans and their initial reaction of giving. You know, when Andy Dalton, Cincinnati Bengals quarterback, yep, Bills Mafia donated to his foundation, and it's the Chasing M's Foundation, literally up to millions of dollars.
Yeah, and it's you know, it used to be kind of shocking, not that I didn't think Buffalo is a great place, of course it is, but you see these numbers roll in and you're like, holy moly. And it was, like you said, first it was the Cincinnati quarterback, Andy Dalton's charity. Then they did one for Tua this year, I think, when he got his concussions. And you know, it's sad to say that field in Cincinnati has seen two injuries this year. The Tua concussion, where he was completely out cold on the field, was in that very stadium 8 weeks ago, and now here we are again.
And I know there's some controversy about the NFL, about whether or not they were going to continue with the game, because the commentators had said players are going to have a 5-minute warm-up and they'll continue the game. You saw Joe Burrow, you know, throwing the football around. Yep. And my initial reaction was, my God, you have to cancel this football game. You know, especially seeing the reactions of the Buffalo Bills players, you know, Diggs, Josh Allen, so many Buffalo Bills players. Yeah, crying. Yeah. And with the emotional of their brother on the field, not knowing if he was going to live or die. And we still do not know the answer to that horrific question that we're even asking it. And again, the NFL, Troy Vincent, former Buffalo Bill.
Yep.
Who is now with the NFL, denied that. I don't know who to believe, because obviously the NFL is going to have a narrative that they do not want to appear as though they were kowtowing to Vegas corporations, or there wasn't even a thought of continuing the game. I certainly hope not.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say a lot of things about a lot of things right now, because you just, a lot of these issues, we really just don't know. And time will tell with his health, with the protocol, with everything. You know, obviously, thank God medical personnel was there, and thank God they were all over it, and they got him back to life, essentially, on that football field. Because, you know, you've said this, and many people have said it, the longer you go without breathing or a heartbeat or a pulse, the worse and worse and worse later in your life can get, if you even make it. And just hopefully, you know, thank God they got him back to life, and hopefully he gets out of this. And, you know, again, who cares if he plays football again? Who cares what happens over the next week or two here? Like, let's just get this guy back to Buffalo, back to his home, and hopefully, you know, healing up.
Well, the callousness of even the thought of continuing the football game was absolutely horrific, because at that moment, it goes to show you that the game is insignificant.
Yep.
The playoffs, that's insignificant. Every single thought, prayer, and emergency personnel obviously was on Damar Hamlin and his health and his well-being. And the NFL did make the right call. And, you know, we'll hear from coaches, the players, the referees even, about, okay, who made that call? Because I know Sean McDermott, the Buffalo Bills head coach, was in discussions with the officials and the coaches on the other side of the field, the Cincinnati Bengals. And it appeared as though Coach McDermott said, no way. Get off the field. We're not continuing this game.
And the Bengals coach seemed to do the same thing. It didn't seem like he was just following suit. It seemed like he was like, yeah, we're good here. We don't want to do this. And, you know, again, Stefan, you know, I coach in the local area. I've played football. I've been around football for 25 years. The last thing that you want to do, and I never saw anything like that, but if a guy gets injured, when I was in high school, a kid got, not on our team, on another team, got taken away in an ambulance because he got a concussion. But that fear that immediately sits in, these guys are fearless, but then that happens and they're not fearless anymore. They immediately mentally check out and just say to themselves, oh my God, that could have been me.
But also too, thank God for the circumstances that they're in an NFL stadium.
Right.
There are trained medical professionals,
yep,
physicians, EMTs, yep, on both sides of the field.
Yep.
And at that exact moment where Damar Hamlin went down, it was a blessing that you had so many caretakers, literally caretakers, on the field tending to him immediately. And also, too, it also stresses the importance of whether you're playing in a little league game, a high school game, college game, pro game, that there's an ambulance, there's medical professionals who are there on the spot, mm-hmm, God forbid, if something like this happens to, before then, a seemingly very healthy professional athlete.
Yeah. You know, again, I go back to, you just got to pray and hope the guy is okay after these next couple days when he's in the hospital. And you know, it's just, it, like you said it perfectly in the beginning, it puts it in perspective, right? Everybody in Buffalo and Cincinnati for the last week is like, oh my God, this is the greatest week 17 game you could ever have. Playoffs, number one seed, Super Bowl favorite, all this stuff. And then in 8 minutes of a game, it's just immediately like, yeah, this isn't that important, right? A one seed is not that important right now.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter between, you know, the 9 minutes into the Bengals game and then moving forward about home field advantage. Where are the Bills going to be ranked within the AFC? Are they going to be behind the Chiefs or anyway? Nothing else matters except the health and safety of Damar Hamlin. Everything else afterwards, when they're going to replay the Bengals game. How will the game go against the Patriots on Sunday? Playoff, no. Nothing matters except the safety and health and well-being of Damar Hamlin.
Yeah, I think we're going to go the live line now, Stefan.
That's right. John Lang, you've seen him. He is the Bills nominee for the Fan of the Year. He's very well known, not just in Buffalo as Bills Elvis, but all around the country. And I know John was there in Cincinnati for the game. John, thank you so much for joining us on Mike and Mihailu on the Financial Guys Media Network.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
And I wish we can have you on under different circumstances, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, John, so everybody knows you, Mike Spiraza here, everybody knows you as Bills Elvis at Bills games, but I know you like to travel to road games as well. How often are you traveling, and who do you normally go with when you go to games?
Typically, I go to a couple games a year. My daughter and I, we have some great father-daughter bonding road trips, and yeah, this started out that way for sure.
And I know you were on social media. You took a photo on one of the bridges leading into Cincinnati. There was certainly a buzz and energy about the game. Can you describe for us just that energy level as a fan prior to the injury? How electric was that stadium?
It was really incredibly electric. It really was. We had a great full day of tailgating, and downtown Cincinnati is really wonderful. The people are fantastic, and it's a real neat little area of, it's like a Chippewa Strip kind of, and it was full of Bills fans, and it was electric, and the stadium was really loud and rocking, and it was incredibly electric. It was.
John, take us through that first 9 minutes there when he's down on the field, because I was listening to WGR this morning, and the experiences between watching on TV like Stefan and I did, John, and you being there was totally different based on, you know, what was happening and what you could see. For us watching at home, obviously we knew something was wrong. The trainers, the players, everybody frantic, panicking. But for you in the stands, what did it look like? Obviously, I'm sure you knew something was wrong, but what was that first 9 minutes like?
Yeah, it was, I mean, you could tell by the look, like my seats were pretty good and I could see the players' faces basically. And you could tell by the look on their faces, something was really, really wrong. And it was, you know, they needed help out there immediately. And you could see the crews running out to the field to help him and do something. And it was very worrisome. It really, really was.
And I know this is Stefan, John. A lot of us were watching some of the tight video shots during the broadcast of the game. And you can see Stefan Diggs in tears, Josh Allen in tears. When did it hit you looking at players on the field thinking, oh, my God, this is something horrific?
Yeah, that was exactly it. Like you said, I could see their faces as well, and you knew something was really, really wrong. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't your average, you know, arm or knee injury or something. It was something way more horrific than that.
John, as those, you know, 9 minutes went on into almost a half hour before he left the stadium in the ambulance, you know, what was it like in the stands? We're hearing stories of people praying together, hugging. What was happening in your section, and what did you see close by?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of that. And like I had total strangers coming up to me and hugging me, and it was very emotional, and it was pretty cool. I'll tell you, like I said, I had some lady in front of me. She just comes up to me and she just goes, I need to hug you. And, you know, total Bengals fan. And that was, it was pretty neat. It really was.
I mean, pardon the pun, because obviously you're Bill Zelvis, you've got a guitar, but that had to tug at your heartstrings, literally, to have fans just embrace you and your daughter in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really something. And like you said, people are around us praying and everything. And the fan base here is really outstanding and very, it's hard to say it. They're very sincere. They are a really sincere bunch of people. It's overwhelming to just have, like I said, total strangers coming up, hugging me and saying, we wish the best for your guy and stuff, which is really neat.
And then John, Stefan again, I know again from the broadcast that a lot of us saw after the injury, like Joe Burrow throwing the football around, there was a lot of confusion about what was happening next. What did you see from both teams and players praying together? What did you see from a fan's perspective?
Yeah, it seemed like it took a few minutes and then people realized that this is something that's very, very horrific and very bad. And then, yeah, it was all of a sudden players from both teams and the coaches and everybody were gathering around together. And then, you know, with the ambulance backing out, you're like, they've got to get him to the hospital. You just knew it. You know, something was really, really wrong.
John, you know, obviously there was a lot of chatter about this. You probably didn't hear as much because you were at the game. But, you know, not only just as a fan, but as a parent, as a father, when did you feel like, and being there, at what point was it like, okay, we got to get rid of this game and cancel it right now because this is not worth going through anymore?
Yeah, you could feel it as soon as they took him off in the ambulance, and you could see the looks on the players' faces and go, this is something that they can't go on. There's no way. You know, it's, I mean, I guess if you knew he was stable and you knew he was going to be fine, then there's probably a way they could have figured it out after a little while, but no one really knew. And you just knew something was seriously wrong.
And then Mike here is about to be a dad. I have four children, including two daughters. What was the interaction between yourself and your daughter? Because you guys travel to Bills games together. It's a bonding experience. What was that dynamic like between the two of you during this really horrific circumstance?
Yeah, we were a couple of the last people to probably leave the stadium, it seemed, our seats anyways. And hey, you just looked around, you're like, wow, this is horrible. That's about all we could say to each other. This is absolutely horrible. And we walked downtown and, you know, it was like people were out downtown, but no one was celebrating from either side. We just sat at the table and kind of looked at each other and we just were praying and hoping that DeMar's going to be all right. It was, like I said, fans from both teams.
John, leaving the stadium, silence is knowing if he was alive or dead or you know, in the hospital, not doing well, doing well, who knows? What was that feeling? What was that emotion like? And again, not just maybe with your daughter, but with everybody around you. I saw Bills fans and Cincinnati fans at the hospital. They were doing, you know, prayer at the hospital. You see Bills players going to the hospital. What was it like walking out of there?
Yeah, it was very kind of eerie and very quiet. And, you know, it's usually when you're leaving a stadium, there's one team that's really celebrating. And with this game, there was nobody celebrating anything. Everybody's kind of heads were down and they were just walking out. And it was very quiet, very, very eerie almost.
And then, John, can you talk about just the passion and love of Bills Mafia? And Mike just mentioned, he's right. There were Bills fans, Bengals fans going to the hospital in Cincinnati. They had a candlelight vigil, prayer vigil. And now it's the Chasing M's Foundation from DeMar Hamlin, where he had a GoFundMe, and his charity basically gives toys to impoverished kids at Christmas. And I think when the GoFundMe started, it was like literally $2,500.
Less.
Right.
They had less in the GoFundMe before the game.
Right. And Now it's in the millions of dollars. So, John, you've been a super fan for so long. What are your thoughts about Bills Mafia supporting this foundation, the Chasing M's Foundation, like this?
Yeah, it's very typical Bills Mafia. It really is. It's I tell everybody, we're crazy. We love to have fun more than anybody. But we are the most genuine and generous fan base that there is. And it shows right there. It absolutely shows.
It does make you proud to be from Buffalo. That's for sure. Last question, John. You're obviously the Bills Elvis. You've been Bills Elvis for many years now, and sometimes you write things on your guitar depending on the game. What's going on that guitar for this week's home game against the Patriots?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be leaving Cincinnati in a few minutes here. My daughter and I will have to hash it over on the ride home. I've got a couple artist friends of mine, and maybe I'll hit them up to paint something nice on there for them, or we'll have to definitely figure out something like that. So, but yeah, we'll be working on it on the ride home, I'm sure.
And then, John, Stefan, last question. Doesn't like this incident, this scare, the fact that to this minute, we still do not know if DeMar Hamlin's going to survive this horrific, horrific medical emergency. Does this not put things in perspective as a fan of saying, okay, we love our Bills, we're passionate, but this is literally life and death, and this is what's important, focusing on him?
Oh, definitely, yeah. So, you know, like we all say, it's a game, it's just a game, but it's, you know, it's your family at the end of the day that really means everything. And, you know, I tell everybody that the Bills players and the staff, they're family to Western New York. So, but yeah, family is everything. And, you know, we really hope and pray he's going to be all right.
Amen to that.
All right, John, thanks for joining us. Wish it was for something better. Maybe in a few weeks we can have you on for you winning Fan of the Year.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks again.
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought that his GoFundMe had a lot more money in it. I didn't realize it was that low.
It was the goal was $2,500.
Oh, I see.
I think it was at like $1,500 before the game. I mean, insanity. I mean, last night, we're recording this on Tuesday. Last night, Stefan, a half hour after, it was over $100,000, and then it went to $300,000, then it went to $500,000. This morning I woke up, it was at over $3 million. God knows what it's at now, but
yeah. And that was the Chasing M's Foundation on GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And I was going through the list of some of the donations. You mentioned $1,500 total prior to his injury. There were people who were donating $5,000 at a time. And I think that goes to the testament again, right away. You know, Bills Mafia, the first reaction from fans was cancel the game.
Yep.
Do not play. Pray for DeMar Hamlin. And then, okay, what can we do to give?
Yep.
And the fact that his GoFundMe for his charity and his foundation is up to the millions of dollars, I think speaks to the testament of the hearts of Bills fans, Bengals fans, NFL fans around the country, and the fact that this is just a good guy we got to pray for.
And I was going to say, they were talking this morning on the radio, Miami fans were throwing in money. And, you know, again, you expect people to help out. But, you know, your biggest rivals, right, are pitching in money. And and that's, you know, I saw this last night, and it's right. It's almost sad, but events like this bring people together. You forget about all the bad, right? And you come together and you do what's right by the player, by the families, this charity. And I'll be one to say, knock on wood, this goes well and he gets out of the hospital in a few days or a few weeks. You know, maybe the next GoFundMe is for Cincinnati Hospital or the people of Cincinnati, something in their neighborhood, because they did, in my opinion, a phenomenal job last night of getting what needed to get done on the field and then at the hospital and everything around it.
Yeah, the entire Bengals organization, yep. Their head coach going to yep. Sean McDermott's and having the conversation of, yep. Okay, why are you even thinking of continuing this yep. game? Unsolicited Bengals fans going to their trauma center. And I didn't know this until reading tons of stories that specifically the NFL in every city, they designate, they have an emergency plan
yep.
that
yep.
they go through once a year, and that every single city has a designated trauma hospital.
Yep.
Obviously, Buffalo ECMC is that trauma center in Cincinnati, that their fans unsolicited joined Bills fans and yep. within an hour had a candlelight vigil and a prayer service outside of that hospital. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow going into the Bills locker room, as did many other Bengals players
yep.
into the locker room to console their opposition about the terrible tragedy that unfolded before them on the gridiron in Cincinnati.
Yep.
It's out of tragedy. It is wonderful and a blessing to see the good that comes out of people on so many different levels.
Yeah, and you got to, you know, again, it's about DeMar Hamlin, and that's the biggest thing. You got to just hope that he gets through this, and it is, you know, Stefan, we've said this, it's something we've never seen before, and you just got to hope that guy pulls through, and we'll figure out the rest after that.
Yeah, I was watching the game with family in Canandaigua, my brother who's a physician, and, you know, it happened. He remembered the Lions-Bears game.
Yep.
I believe it was early 70s, 1971, where an NFL player died on the field. And it was he specifically remembered Dick Butkus,
yep.
The famous Bears linebacker, Hall of Famer, who was calling medical personnel over in 1971, and tragically, this player died. And so many thoughts went to, oh my God, is this going to be the second NFL player to yep. pass away on the gridiron, on the field? But you can't say enough about medical personnel who are there instantaneously, trainers, doctors, everybody from both teams, hearing that for 9 minutes he yep. was given CPR. I mean, talk about literally at this time a lifesaver.
And not for nothing, that was the first 9 minutes. Then there was like another 21 of before he went to the hospital of you frantically making sure he's okay, getting him into the ambulance. The ambulance, I don't know if you saw the story last night, waiting for his mother to get into the ambulance and his father. They waited for them because she was frantically trying to get down on the field. You know, and that's the other thing too. Obviously, your thoughts are with the player, but then there's the other side of it, which is the family, and then his teammates, right? And anybody who's been a part of a sport knows your teammates are your own family. These guys see their teammates more than they see anybody else in their life for 6 months a year. Watching reactions of superheroes, I'll call them, like a Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs or any of those guys, and watching them visibly just sick. It's not so, and again, I was at the Kevin Everett game. I remember that. This was not even, in my opinion, it's just like the reactions of people watching them in their faces real time was just scary.
Yeah.
It was scary.
And especially that his poor mother was there
right.
in the crowd. I mean, yeah. as son,
yep.
soon to be dad, yep. as a yep. father, you're just yep. thinking, my God, that poor woman.
Yep.
And then you think, okay, what could you do from yep. sitting afar or sitting in that stadium? What could you do? I mean, prayer is the big one. That's what yep. it's what unifies us. It was very heartfelt to see the Bills do that and Bengals players joining that. But my God, that poor woman
yep.
to witness that, not knowing, okay, that is my son. And minutes before, literally living a dream.
Yep.
Your son is playing in the biggest NFL game of the year, Monday Night Football.
Biggest game of his life, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in 9 minutes in, your thoughts turn to, oh my God, is my baby boy going to survive and live? And so that's why I think, regardless, and we'll find out in the coming days ahead, you know, and I think there has to be some kind of review of, okay, how did it get to the point where we canceled the game? And again, the NFL, Troy Vincent had said, at no point in time was there ever a discussion about the game continuing. The announcers on ESPN had said there's going to be a 5-minute warm-up and then the teams will resume the game. And that's leading to a lot of confusion about whatever decision was made to postpone the game. But regardless of how it came about, if it was Sean McDermott telling the referees, hell no, we are not continuing this game. It was the two coaches that came together. Regardless, it was absolutely the right decision not to continue that game.
Yeah, and I'm not going to defend the NFL, but I am going to a little bit. You know, I think it took too long. However, they came to the right decision, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime event that just happened, right? I mean, not one of these players have ever seen this happen before on a football field like what just happened last night. So sometimes you do have to live and learn a little bit and create better protocol or do certain things, maybe make a rule about what happens in a situation like this. I think the NFL did come to the right decision. I don't think it should have taken an hour, personally, but they did end up coming to the right decision. But there's many decisions now, Stefan, that need to be made after this. That was the first decision. Now you have, and again, I'm not getting down the road of what's going to happen, but you have to talk about these players and their mental psyche right now about rescheduling this game, about going into Sunday's game against New England, about the playoff. Like, there's a lot of things that the NFL has to do right now, and they have a lot of decisions to make, and I'm glad I'm not making those decisions right now.
Yeah, I mean, when do you replay that game? I know there's reports of saying the NFL is dictating that it has to be played within 2 days, which would make that a Thursday night game on the road at Cincinnati, and then the Bills would basically have, I mean, literally 2 days to prepare for the New England home
you
game
can't, though.
On Sunday.
It has to be a minimum of 4 days in between games.
Between?
So they'd have to play, I guess that would be Monday, you'd have to play that game?
Yeah, I mean, who knows when that's going to happen. The NFL regular season technically ends on Sunday with the Bills home game against New England, but is that even pushed back depending on the timeline of what happens?
Well, and I was going to say, too, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. If those guys go and play a football game not knowing that DeMar Hamlin is okay, because I was watching an interview this morning and they said there's a cooling process. This was a physician saying this, not me. A cooling process they do to bring almost the body temperature down for the neurological systems. That's a 24 to 48 hour process. So that brings you into tomorrow or Thursday. Or Thursday, right? So if this guy, you don't know he's okay, how do you go out and play? And how do you force a team to go out and play? I don't know how that works.
Well, that's why I think the initial reaction of so many people was, no matter what, and I shared this on social media on Monday night, figure out the logistics and the scheduling later.
Right.
Figure out when you're going to play this game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Figure out later when you're going to play against the New England Patriots at home. The number one priority for the entire NFL is the health, safety, and well-being of DeMar Hamlin. Scheduling can wait. Look, the NFL is a multi-billion dollar entity, whether it's television contracts. Now the NFL is in bed with gambling in Vegas. Home games, hotels, meals, travel. That scheduling can wait. It's exactly what I said on Monday night, and a lot of us continue to have that thought process of figure it out later. Figure it out later, because in the meantime, the only thing that should be focused on is DeMar Hamlin and his health.
Yeah, and I think everybody, you know, around the world has to just take a little bit of a backseat right now and just pray for the guy, hope he gets well, don't get divisive, don't say they need to play the game or it was this reason or that reason, just let's get through this first and then everything else will work itself out.
And even in the world of politics, which 99.999% of the time, politics and finance is what we talk about.
Every day.
It's our lives.
Right.
You know, on Tuesday when we're recording this, it is the vote for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. And so many people in D.C. and the Beltway and in politics are thinking, okay, is Kevin McCarthy going to be Speaker? Does he have the votes? If he doesn't, will it be Elise Stefanik? Will it be Jim Jordan? Like, who gives a damn?
Right.
Right. Really? In the big scheme of things, who cares?
Yep.
Like, no one outside of, you know, the D.C. Beltway, does anyone give a damn about who the next Speaker of the House is going to be?
Right.
Right now, everyone's focus, especially amongst Bills Mafia, the NFL, is DeMar Hamlin and his health. And we do strongly encourage as many people as possible, pray. And then if you have a few bucks to spare, you know, if you go to the Google machine, it's the Chasing M's Foundation, or just Google, you know, DeMar Hamlin GoFundMe, a billion stories will pop up with links of how to donate, because it is heartfelt. And I really didn't know it was only like $1,500 that he
had. It was. I couldn't. I'm thinking an NFL player, right? I'm like, okay, so his charity or his foundation or whatever. I mean, the goal of $2,500 seems so low, and they weren't even at the $2,500. And within 45 minutes to an hour of it, like I said, it was $100,000. Then it was $300,000. Then it was $500,000. I went to bed, it was like over $1 million. And this morning I wake up and it's well over $3 million. And by the time this airs, it's probably going to be, God knows what.
$6 million.
Yeah, God knows what. You know,
out of tragedy, that's all we can do is pray. And what Bill's Mafia does is have generous hearts supporting his foundation, and it really puts into perspective when it comes to the NFL being a multi-billion-dollar corporation. But at the end of the day, it's a game, and he's literally a kid.
Yep.
I'm turning 50 this year.
Yeah.
You also have that different perspective of he's literally a kid. A young man, but to me and many others, he's just a kid playing football.
Well, and I'll say this too, Stefan, before we wrap. Ryan Clark, who's a former NFL player that had a major injury as well, was on ESPN last night talking with Scott Van Pelt on their SportsCenter post-game show. And he made a phenomenal point that even I was like, oh, man, I'm 30. But at 24, you don't even know what death is or think about it, right? It's just not in your vocabulary at 24, whether you're an athlete or not. If you're not an athlete, it's, oh, I'm partying with my friends. Who cares? Nothing's going to happen to me, right? If you're an athlete, it's, I'm going to play this game. Who knows? Nothing's going to happen. You know, you go out there to play and you're with your best friends, you're playing football, you're living a dream that we all wish we could live, right, sports fans. And in 20 minutes of a first quarter, it's over, right? I mean, maybe, you know, and that's what's so scary, that people like us I heard them say this too, people that yell at the players, oh, you stink, you're the worst player ever, get out of me, cut him. This is a lot of it. Craziness to think, but life or death for these guys, their livelihood. Maybe it's not life sometimes, but maybe they get paralyzed, whatever. They do that, and I know they make money, but they do that to entertain us. We have to remember that.
Amen to that. So, yeah. You know, moving forward, I think it's very powerful from the minute DeMar Hamlin suffered his horrific traumatic injury, right away, players started praying. Fans like Bill Zovis, John Lang, receiving hugs from Bengals fans, everyone praying. That's all we really can do right now is pray, not just for him, but I think it's important, too, to pray for the doctors, nurses, his mother, especially people who are tending to his medical needs and cares, and then do what you can. $10 here, $5 here, every little bit adds when it comes to his foundation. And also moving forward, we now have the perspective of who gives a damn what seed the Bills are? Who cares? Home field advantage. Who cares who they play in the playoffs? This whole season and the entire league season, not just the Buffalo Bills, has taken on an entirely different entity of who gives a damn about the playoffs and the Super Bowl when everyone's focus should be on this player.
And last thing I'll say is say a prayer for his teammates, too, because that's really hard to watch. And what they had to do last night, putting a wall up around them, just seeing guys visibly sick to their stomach. I mean, that's you don't wish that on anybody. So say a prayer for those guys, too, because that's probably something they will never, ever forget. And some people do not react well long term to things like that. So you got to think about that, too.
It's a trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife is a social worker. Whether it's a trauma that you experience as a child, you know, alcoholism, beat downs, abuse, suffered it all. But when it comes to even fans watching the game, you know, you're seeing on social media fans saying, wow, I was up all night. I cried my eyes out. Those players, his teammates, experienced a horrific trauma as well.
Yep.
So that's why I think it's really important that not only DeMar Hamlin receive, and he is receiving incredible medical care as best as possible in that trauma center in Cincinnati, but also pray for the health and well-being of every player on that field, and certainly his family as well.
I think we're going to cap it there today, Stefan.
Amen to that.
All right, folks, until next week, this is Mike Spiraza, Stefan Mihailu. Don't forget about the podcast, Tuesday with Stefan and I, Wednesday with Mike and Glenn, Thursday with Mike Havlik and I. You can find these all on financialguysmedia.com. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys and like us on Facebook and Instagram, The Financial Guys. Hopefully we have some more chipper news next week on the podcast. But, folks, thanks for tuning in today. We will see you next Tuesday.